Well, tell you one thing that becomes more and more obvious day every day is that we're in a major spiritual war. We're in a war for truth. We're in a war against vain philosophies of the world. We're in a war with our own flesh. We're in a war against unseen forces of evil, and we are in a war. And what that means is that we need prayer. One of the critical keys to winning the warfare is prayer. When we go through these Psalms of David, it's very clear that David was a man of prayer. He prayed and he wanted people praying for him. In fact, there is nothing that will make a leader more powerful as when God's people are praying for him. You see, this is a plea for help from the sanctuary, and it's to the choir master, and it's once again a Psalm of David. And King David was a man who won victory after victory in some of the most heated, hostile, and intimidating warfare skirmishes in all of Scripture. Now, where did David get his power? Where did David get his strength? Where did David get his notoriety? Well, I think it came through prayer. David himself prayed, and also the prayers God's people prayed were for David. They realized he was God's man, and they backed him in prayer. It's clear from this psalm that before David went into battle, he found great encouragement and hope in knowing that God's people were interceding for him. So often, when you're a leader, many people can criticize. And David had his share of critics, but he also had a great number of people who backed him in prayer, and that meant a great deal to him. So what we see here is that in order for any of God's leaders to have victory and assurance and blessing in warfare, there must be the prayers of God's people. And so he presents the idea of prayer as a prelude in going to war. And the next psalm we'll look at is the idea of prayer as a postscript to winning the war. So it would appear that in this psalm, God's people collectively met in the place of worship to specifically pray for David. It would appear that their prayers were a critical part of the victory David had and also played a part in the great faith that he demonstrated. So we see, first of all, the intercession of the people here. Look at verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Selah. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. See, the people gathered together to intercede on David's behalf. And they make some requests. They ask God to answer David. And that specific prayer is that Jehovah would answer David in the day of trouble. These people were smart enough to know that a leader for God would face many days of terrible trouble and trials. They made the assumption that in those moments, David would pray. So they prayed and asked God that when David would pray in troubled moments, that he would answer. And notice they don't pray, I hope he will know thy will. But they pray, I hope you will answer his prayers. Times of trouble, times of crisis are great times to pray. And then they ask God to exalt David. And we'll notice that God is identified as the God of Jacob. That clearly ties this to the prayer to Israel. Now, oftentimes you'll hear the people pray for someone, and the prayer will be like, Lord, keep him humble. Have you ever heard anyone pray, God, highly exalt him? These children of Israel wanted the best for David. They ask God to exalt him. And then they ask God to help David. God does send help in time of need. We see that in 1 Samuel 4, 3 through 9. But notice that help comes from the sanctuary. And that sanctuary was a place of worship. It's a place where the Ark of the Covenant was located. So at this sanctuary, there is written word of God, and there is the presence of God. And God's people are praying and asking God to send help from his sacred place in accordance with his inspired word. The power of God and the presence of God and the word of God are located at the sanctuary, and God's people are asking God to support them from this place. Now, most people in the world do not think they need sanctuary help. They trust in their armory or their treasury. However, the most powerful ally is God. We stay away from the sanctuary, and one is destined for weakness and defeat. And then they ask God to support David. Zion is a key spot to God. This Zion is not in Illinois or Utah. Zion is a specific place in Jerusalem that is set apart for the worship of God. God's presence and power were located in Zion. Now, one point is critical here, and that is if we are to expect God to support us, we must have a proper perspective of God's places. And then they ask God to remember David. David was a man who exemplified being a man of worship. He saw to it that offerings were made to the Lord. He pointed people in the ways of being in a right relationship with God. And prayers often accompanied the meal offerings and burnt offerings. And these people regularly went to the tabernacle and prayed in behalf of David. They wanted God to remember all the offerings and sacrifices that God had made and that he had taught the people to make. And when he inserts that word Selah at the end of verse 3, God wants people to stop and think about that point. Offerings are important to God, and our labor in the Lord is not in vain. God remembers it. And they asked God to fulfill David's heart's desire. God's people wanted all of David's desires to be fulfilled by God, and they are praying about it. This is a very interesting prayer because it's not a prayer that says, "If it be thy will granted for David," but "If it is a desire of David, grant it to him." What a tremendous thing to pray for David. If it is David's heart's desire, please grant him his desire. How many people would pray for that for a leader? And one thing is for certain, success and prosperity in ministry are totally dependent on God. God can make a leader's plan succeed, but God's people need to pray for him, not criticize him. Carefully notice that in verse 5, if God would grant these requests, the people would rejoice, they would worship, they would sing, and they would publicly testify that God had answered their prayers and given their leader victory. This congregation was not jealous of David. They wanted to rejoice in his victories. Notice they would give the glory and credit to God, not to a gun, not to a commander, but to God. This is a great congregation. These are prayer warriors. It's no doubt David accomplished so much for God. And then we see the assurance of the king in beginning at verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in horses, chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. What an encouragement for King David. He had the assurance that these people were praying these things for him, that victory would come. He knew he would be delivered. He knew God would answer, and he knew God would use his strength to save him. It's interesting to see from verse 6 that David realized he was God's anointed, and so did the people who were praying for him. And that's a fact and a reality. And David's confidence was not in numbers, is not in chariots of war, which were the most feared military weapon on earth at the time, but his confidence was in God. The enemies would fall, but David and the people of God would rise and stand upright. And David believed he was clean and upright, and because of that, he had confidence that God would answer this prayer and give him victory. God does not give victories to people who are dirty and filthy. He does not give victory to people that are living corrupt lives. And lastly, verse 9, O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. The people cried out for God to save and answer when they call. Notice first they were praying for their leader and then themselves. Those who are right with God always have the right to pray in threatening moments. That if we're to have victory, there must be realizations that we are in war. We need leaders who stand for what is right and live what is right. And we need people who pray for their leaders and for themselves. That's a great lesson from Psalm 20.